ஸோ பஞ்சகோஷ அதிகா அஸ்மி அஹம். அஹம் ஐ இஸ் டிஸ்டிங்க்ட். வென் யூ சே அதிகா மீன்ஸ் பியாண்ட், பட் பியாண்ட் மீன்ஸ் அதிகா மீன்ஸ் டிஸ்டிங்க்ட். அஹம் அதிகா மீன்ஸ் ஐ செல்ஃப் ஆம் டிஸ்டிங்க்ட், நாட் டிஸ்டன்ட் பட் டிஸ்டிங்க்ட். Distinct from the gross physical body, sthula shariram, which is otherwise called annamaya kosha, the outermost layer of personality. So, I the person am distinct from the personality. And now we say the sukshma shariram, subtle body. Subtle body is divided into three layers of personality. Physiological layer of personality, interior to this, internal to this physical body, five physiological functions. There are five physiological functions happening all the time. The function of respiration involving inhalation and exhalation is called pranaha. Then there's apanaha. Apanaha the function of excretion is known by the term apanaha. Prana apana, excretion. And there's a function of circulation. Known by the term vyanaha. Then function of digestion, samanaha. Then all these functions are continuously retained. The function of retention, retentive system, is governed by the prana, udanaha. So pranaha, apanaha, vyanaha, samanaha, udanaha are five different names given to five different physiological functions, which are subtle. You only understand the functions being manifest. You can't see the functions through physical eyes. And each function is object of knowledge. Then we also have the five subtle powers. Subtle powers governing five different, again, the function of powers, because of the presence of which the action is possible. The organ of physical part, hands are physical parts, and these hands are capable of being active because of the presence of the power. So the power in the hands, the power in the legs, and the power in the organ of speech, because of which the act of speaking is possible. The action involves will. A function is involuntary. Involuntary functions. And we have voluntary actions. Voluntary means the will is involved here. So the hands, legs, organ of speech, and the excretory organ and reproductory organ. All these organs of actions, they are function active. We can activate them. You can use them because they have these powers. The power is not there. The organ of speech is there. For the dead body, organ of speech is there, but the speaking is not possible. The act of speaking is not possible. Similarly, the dead body legs are there, but doesn't move. And not the act of moving, walking. Dead body cannot do anything with the hands. The hands are there, legs are there, organ of speech is there, reproductory organ is there. All these physical parts are there. But what is not there? The power, because of the presence of which all these parts are capable of being active. There's a difference between dead body and the alive body. In the alive body, the powers are present. In dead body, these powers are resolved. The powers are not there, nothing is active. Physical parts are there, legs are there, no movement. Hands are there, no action, not useful. Because they're incapable of dead body. The parts are incapable of being active because the powers are not there. Therefore, the subtle powers, five powers of organs of actions. They're called karma indriyani. So, pancha pranaha, pancha karma indriyani, these 10 constitute what? Pranamaya kosha. Physiological layer of personality consists of these 5 physiological functions, 5 subtle powers of organs of actions. And they're all objects of knowledge. Therefore, I, the knower, am consciousness, pure knowledge, existence of the nature of limitlessness, distinct from the known. 5 physiological functions and the 5 powers of organs of actions, which are subject to limitations. Then, Manomaya Kosha. What is Manomaya Kosha? Manaha, the emotional aspect of the mind. And 5 subtle powers of organs of action, knowledge. Exactly how we have the powers of organs of action, so also we have 5 subtle powers of organs of knowledge, otherwise called sense organs. 10 subtle powers we have, 5 powers of organs of actions, 5 powers of organs of knowledge, otherwise called sense organs. In dead body, the eye, physical part called eye, the physical part is there, golakam is there. The drums are there, golakam is there. The nose, physical part is there. The skin, the physical part is there. Tongue, the physical part is there. But the dead person's eyes cannot see, ears cannot hear, nose cannot smell, tongue cannot taste. Even if you go and, that's why we push the body into the crematorium. Because it burns, no heat is felt, touch is, the sense of touch is not there, which means the golakams, the physical parts are there, the locations of the powers are there, but the located powers are not there. So located means what? The 5 subtle powers which are distinct, different from the physical parts, they are the power of seeing, which is distinct from the eye. See, when they say eye bank and all, they only remove the physical part and put it there. Okay? Eye bank, what can the eye bank can only remove the physical part of the dead person and fix it for another person who is blind or who doesn't have. Yes, the physical part can be transplanted, isn't it? The transplanting is only of the physical parts, golakani. Indriyam cannot be transplanted. Okay? There is no such thing called transplantation of indriyam. Indriyam is subtle. A gross thing can be, you can cut and take and put it elsewhere, isn't it? The physical part you can do. Indriyam is subtle. It is not available for any touch. The power. The power of seeing. The power of hearing, power of smelling, power of taste, power of touch. They obtain each physical part is a locus where it is available. The seeing power is here, in the eyes, hearing power is here. The 5 sense powers, pancha jnana indriyani. Indriyam means power. Indriyam or shakti means power here. So 5 sense powers and we also have what? Here, mind. Mind is emotional aspect. of the mind. You can say jealousy, then the desire. First desire. What is desire? Let me tell you, first the sense powers are objects of knowledge. All these sense powers are objects of knowledge. You know you can see, you know you can hear, you know you can smell, you know you can taste, you know you can touch. Which means all the powers are known to you. So powers are objects of knowledge. And there's a time these powers are functional in the waking state. The powers are non-functional, resolved in deep sleep state. Which means they have their own limitations. Very useful, but they have their own, they serve a purpose, but they have their limitations. Objects of knowledge. I, the knower, am pure knowledge consciousness, distinct from the known five subtle powers of knowledge. Sense organs, called Jnana Indriyani. Similarly, we have this mind, Manaha. The six aspects, five subtle sense powers, Jnana Indriyani and Manaha, six of them together form Manomaya Kosha. Only six aspects. 10 form the Pranamaya Kosha and the six form the Manomaya Kosha. And what is the sixth one? Is mind. What is mind? Emotional aspect of the mind. It's called mind. The whole mind is divided into mind and intellect. And here the emotional aspect of the mind is what? Desire, anger, fear, anxiety, likes and dislikes. Desire in terms of likes and dislikes. Then hatred, hurt, guilt. What is hurt? What is guilt? Pain, anxiety, fear, jealousy, envy, hatred, anger, fear, desire, likes and dislikes. What are these? They are all subtle phenomena obtaining in the form of thoughts. You can ask, what do you mean with thought? Thought form means any subtle phenomenon which comes and goes is a thought form, in the form of a thought. Desire comes and goes. Likes and dislikes come and go. Desire in terms of likes, like and dislike, comes and goes. Hurt comes and goes. Sometimes sitting there all the time. Guilt, anxiety, fear, anger comes and goes means what? Rises, resolves. It doesn't go away for good, okay? It's always there. What are these subtle phenomena? All these subtle phenomena which form, each one obtains the form of a thought. In every phenomenon, in terms of fear, anger, etc., they rise and obtains them of a thought and remains and resolves. Resolves means doesn't disappear for good. And they're not always there. They surface only when they are triggered. All these are not newly created. The fear, anger, hurt, guilt, pain in terms of hurt and guilt, anxiety, desire, anger, likes and dislikes, they are all not newly, freshly created. They don't rise newly. Always they are all there in subtle, in dormant, latent, in your subconscious. You cannot even know they are. We won't even know they are there. When do we know? When they remain dormant, latent, in subconscious, we are not aware of it. Only when it rises, surfaces, resurfaces means it obtains him of a thought, then it is available for recognition. It is there. I am very angry. When you say, you know their anger is. Before you say, I am very angry, now we are all not angry. Who is angry now? Anybody is angry? Thank God. Does not mean there is no anger in all of us. Now we are not angry. We don't think we are angry. That does not mean there is no anger in us at all. We are all Mahatmas now. Does it mean that we are all Mahatmas now? There is no anger at all? That's not true. There is anger. It is not, nothing is there to trigger. So some external situation can become instrumental in triggering any of these emotions, obtaining in the form of a thought. Every phenomenon, every emotion is a subtle phenomenon which arises in the form of a thought. When a given situation becomes instrumental, the external situation is only instrumental in triggering the situations. These are emotions. They're triggered, they're stirred, and they can surface. They surface, and this subtle phenomenon, every phenomenon obtaining of thought, it is there, and this causes discomfort. Emotional discomfort, mental discomfort. And this, when there's discomfort, it's a pain. And these get expressed in the form of external physical behavior. If these emotions are managed, they're managed, then external behavior will not be damaging, destructive, and causing pain. If they are not managed and they get expressed, external behavior, external actions, they may result in, they may be very damaging, destructive, hurtful, hurting, all that. Okay, and these are all known to you or not. Now, what is the distance between I, the knower, and the known anger or hatred or jealousy or fear or desire or likes and dislikes? What's the distance? No distance. Understand? And I am, fear is. I am. Anxiety is, I am, jealousy is, I am, therefore hatred is possible, I am, guilt is, I am, hurt is possible, I am, desire is. If there is no knowledge I am, can there be your desire hanging around without your person being around there? No. That is why all these thoughts obtaining in the form of subtle phenomenon, they all form what? Mind. We say one word, antahkaranam. That antahkaranam is nothing but thoughts, subtle phenomena. Atnuta, thoughts constitute this antahkaranam. You can't locate exactly where the mind is, how the mind looks. You want to create the picture. People put this triangle, putting dot, all those things. I don't know what I understand. The most confusing thing. People try to do all those things. Swamiji always told, if you touch a pen and pencil and teach Vedanta Shastra, finished. Because you are talking something, the whole Vedanta Shastra is unfolding something abstract. Understand? Where is the mind located? What is the form of the mind? What is the form of the thought? How does jealousy or fear or anger look? Subtle, why do you use the expression subtle? Imperceptible, indescribable, can only understand a phenomenon being manifest. Okay, when the fear is, you understand there is fear. When the anger is, you don't even know there is anger. And your behavior makes other people understand that there is anger in you. And you realize afterwards, yes, I was angry. Sometimes. What I want to say, these are all subtle. And they're all known to you. Fear is known to you, your anger is known to you, desire is known to you. Likes and dislikes are known to you. Hurt is known, guilt is known. The right or wrong is a different thing. And you don't need, there's no need for anyone to be guilty of anything, because nothing, you are not creating your anger, desire, hatred, fear, anxiety. Understand, you are not creating anything. They are naturally there. There's a reason why they are. So every human mind, all of them are there, and they vary, the degree may vary from person to person. But there's nobody absolutely free from anger. Okay, the proportion may vary from person to person, the degree may vary from person to person, but in every human mind, all these are. Is it clear? How everybody has a body, the weight may differ, color may differ, complexion may differ, but everybody, all of us have body. The size may differ. Similarly, the proportion, the degree may vary from person to person. How much anger is in the person? How much desire is there in the person? That may differ. But in everyone, all these are there. All these are latent, dormant in subconscious. How do you say they are there? As long as ignorance is, they will all be there. Where the mother is, there the children will be. Okay? India. Mother, children cannot go anywhere else. Mother dies is a different thing. Okay? They're all products of ignorance. As long as ignorance is, they will all comfortably, if not, okay, they'll be sitting there claiming their place. No meditation will help you push them out. Be very careful. That is why do we say jnanam, jnanam, jnanam? Why do you break our head? By meditating, I can become relaxed. I can manage. You know, in meditation, you're only what? Suppressing them. You're really trying to tame them. That doesn't mean they are not there. There may be any one situation they may get triggered. Okay, meditation cannot remove them for good from subconscious. In meditation, they are controlled. Okay, suppressed. They are not even understood. That's why people like meditation. In meditation, I'm so calm. It is not a solution. Okay? Meditation, by practicing some form of meditation, keeping them suppressed, keeping emotions up, they cannot be removed for good because they're products of ignorance. Ignorance is there, so they will be there. So meditation can help you keep them suppressed for some time, which means it is like keeping the disease inside, taking the medication for managing the symptoms. Meditation to manage your emotions is like managing the symptoms of the disease, keeping the disease inside. What does it mean? As long as disease is, lifelong you have to be practicing meditation to manage the symptoms, and you die with the disease. you come back with the same disease. Is it clear? And you want a permanent remedy to remove the very disease itself, or you want to only medicine to manage the symptoms. Any effort you make to manage, to keep them suppressed, is only managing, like managing the symptoms, not the removal of the disease. Is it clear now? Therefore, this is the manaha, emotions. And each, every emotion is known to you. When they're dormant, you don't even know they are. When they lay, when they surface, you understand they are. They're all known to you. And your sensor, therefore, the manomaya kosha is also what? The mind, the emotional aspect of the mind, and your five sense powers are all known to you. Therefore, you can say what? I, what is this I? I, the self, am consciousness, not distant from these emotions, the mind or the sense powers. I am distinct. Atigaha. Okay? Aham annamaya kosha atigaha. Aham pranamaya kosha atigaha. Aham manomaya kosha atigaha. Then you have what next? Vijnanamaya koshaha. What is Vijnanamaya koshaha? Again, same sense powers, but with the intellect, gets a different, comes under a different category of what? Intellectual layer of personality. Sense organs are be backed by the antahkaranam, the internal organ of knowledge called mind. The mind alone is divided into two as what? Mind and intellect. Mind is divided into two as mind and intellect. Emotional aspect of the mind, intellectual aspect of the mind. Is it clear now? The sense powers associated with the mind forms the manomaya kosha, the psychological layer of personality. And the same sense powers associated with the intellect forms the intellectual layer of personality called vijnanamaya koshaha. Is it clear? And what is vijnanam? What is now, of course, you know, sense powers are known to you. What is this vijnanamaya kosha? Now, what is this intellect here? Intellect also is nothing but a name given to a group of certain the subtle phenomena obtaining in the form of thoughts. Like how emotions are all subtle phenomena obtaining in the form of thoughts, intellect also nothing but intellectual aspect of the antahkaranam, the mind, who is a say manifest knowledge. See, knowledge of any given object. Knowledge of any given object is what? This is cot. This is mattress. This is wall. This is mic. This is a book. These are all people. There is light. There's a tree outside. There are many cows outside. Every small thing you know, every small thing you perceive, there's noise. There's silence. So any small piece of information you have, the knowledge is what? You say, I know, this is. I know. Whether it is about knowledge of the objects outside, perceptible objects. Now you don't see through physical eyes. There's a bus horn. Knowledge of the sound. Any knowledge of any perceptible object. Where is the knowledge? Our knowledge of sometimes not perceptible object, hunger. I am hungry. Hunger is there. Hunger. I am thirsty. Thirst is there. So thirst, hunger, pain, etc. What now? I mean, suppose I have back pain. I'll give you an example. They are not gross objects, but imperceptible objects. but still the objects are knowledge. Isn't it? Perceptible knowledge of any perceptible external object or knowledge of any imperceptible subtle object in terms of back pain, hunger, thirst, etc. are not perceptible objects. It's not available for sense perception. Is clear now? And so the objects available for thought perception means the objects of knowledge still. A knowledge of any object is where? Knowledge is, isn't it? When you say light is, this knowledge is there or not? Where is this knowledge? What is this knowledge? Knowledge, please understand here, knowledge of any object is subtle phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought. And you listen and understand, and you're listening now is perception. Isn't it? You're listening now. Listening is what? There's a perception. And there's understanding. Now, as you're listening, understanding takes place, isn't it? What is understanding? Understanding again is a phenomenon, a thought, which comes under the category of the intellect. Knowledge, understanding, perception. There's some sort of cheerfulness. There's enthusiasm to learn. Enthusiasm. There is no enthusiasm wouldn't have come here. The cognitions. Cognition are just very subtle. They're all what? They're all form the ignorance. What is ignorance? Ignorance is known to you or not now. All this is an unmanifest power of the reality. I know French is a knowledge. I don't know English. Ignorance. Understand now? The knowledge of any object. Ignorance of any object. Ignorance of any given thing. I don't know computer science. I can say that. I know what computer is, how computer looks, but I do not know computer science. I do not know how computer works. I mean, there's knowledge of what computer is, how computer looks, etc., but I do not know more details about the computer. There's ignorance of computer. Is it clear? So knowledge and ignorance. What? Different phenomenon here up in your thoughts. And they're all known to you. Your knowledge is known to you. Ignorance also is known to you. Is it true or not? Ignorance is known to you or not? Huh? Be sure. Nod your head. Yes, ignorance is known to me. Ignorance is object of knowledge. Knowledge also is object of knowledge. Do you know English? What will you say? Yes, I know. How do you know English? I know. Which means you know that you know English. Which means knowledge is your object of knowledge. You know that you do not know Tamil. Isn't it true? Sometimes I know the North Indian languages I speak, I don't even know what language I speak. Hindi I can make out. I speak Bengali, Marathi I can make out, Gujarati I can make out. But some other language I speak, Rajasthani language. They were speaking some bit. I didn't even know it was Rajasthani language they were speaking. Leave alone the language. What language they're speaking also I could not make out. Same way when French or German, what they speak, I don't make out. Now a little bit slightly make out. Oh, this is German. Understand what means? I know I am ignorant. I know my ignorance. I know knowledge. So knowledge also is object of your knowledge. Ignorance also is object of your knowledge. Is it clear now? Any object of knowledge is manifestation of knowledge. Is it clear now? When you say, I do not know ignorance, is also what? Is it clear now? Knowledge. Ignorance also is knowledge. Is it clear now? Knowledge is knowledge. Ignorance also is knowledge. What? Manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, and now you say, so knowledge of any object is what? Intellect. Knowledge of any object is intellect. It's a thought phenomenon in the coming under the category of the intellect. Ignorance of any object also is what? A thought phenomenon in the form of a thought which comes under category of the intellect. Confusion on comes mind. Delusion, mind. It's a state of mind. Your delusion is known, confusion is known, your clarity is also known. Clarity is intellect. This is hot, it is warm. Why have you to come out of? Power is, there's no power. Understand? So, I am, please see now, I the knower am the abstract formless reality, pure consciousness, existence which is of the nature of limitlessness, distinct from the known intellect. Okay, and sense organs. Therefore, I am distinct from even the intellectual layer of personality. Vijnanamaya kosha atigaha. Now last, these three layers of personality, Vijnanamaya kosha, the sense powers are associated with both mind and intellect. Isn't it? Because when the perception of a given object takes place, there is coffee, the knowledge takes place, isn't it? There is coffee outside. And then what? Let me go and drink. The desire comes afterwards. Is it clear now? Knowledge must be there of an even object. You must perceive a given object, then knowledge takes place. When knowledge takes place, then the desire to do comes, desire to drink comes, isn't it? Always desire is always of the known object. Desire is for the known object only. You cannot have a desire for unknown object, unknown thing. Is it clear? Therefore, you must come to know of the pro. There is a place called Saraswati Library, Saraswati Mahal Library, huge library, very ancient library. You come to know about it, then you want to go and see it. So what I want to say, always desire presupposes knowledge. So sense organs are, without knowing, perceiving, you cannot have a desire, knowledge, isn't it? This object is. So, through sense organs you perceive, then you have knowledge of an object, then the desire comes. Knowledge is intellect, desire is mind. So, what I want to say, sense organs are associated with both mind and intellect, which means antahkaranam. That is why mind and sense organs together, six aspects constitute the pranamaya, manomaya kosha, and sense organs and intellect constitute vijnanamaya kosha. So, this physiological, psychological, intellectual, layers of personality, three layers of personality constitute Sukshma Shariram, and I am the knower consciousness distinct from the known all these three layers of personality which form the subtle body. Is it clear? Now finally we have Anandamaya Koshaha. So here again we distinguish the knowledge of any object is intellect, we say, but knowledge of the existence of my own self in terms of I am is also object of knowledge, but we give this different name, ego. Is it clear now? Okay, let me come to this now. Anandamaya Koshaha. Anandamaya Koshaha is otherwise called Karana Shariram. Now what is Anandamaya Koshaha? Total ignorance, avidya, ajnanam. What is total ignorance? Total ignorance, the unmanifest power of the reality. Unmanifest power of the reality. Look at this unmanifest power of reality. Avidya, ignorance. Ignorance also is what? Is a layer of personality. Why? Because there's a time you identify yourself with anything. You identify yourself with any layer of personality. When you identify yourself with, it is called Koshaha. Understand? When you not knowing what you are, not knowing what I is, not knowing what I am, it is I is identified with any of the layer of personality, then that layer of personality is called Koshaha. Is it clear? Because it covers. It prevents you from knowing what you are. Just as any case prevents the one which is kept inside the case. Similarly, in wrong identity, that what you identify yourself with prevents you from knowing what you are. Therefore, it's called Koshaha. Annamayaha Koshaha, Annamayaha Dehaha. The physical body which is modified from a food becomes a kosha when this I is identified with this. Is it clear now? Now Ajnanam, there's a time. There's ignorance. Ignorance is not wrong. There's a total ignorance. Savidya. And you identify yourself with ignorance also. Therefore it is called, it becomes a kosha. And in that total ignorance also is object of your knowledge. Is it clear? The half ignorance comes under the category of intellect. The total ignorance is looked upon separately as the causal body, and which comes under the category of what? Anandamaya Kosha. When there is total ignorance, when you experience total ignorance, you experience bliss. Isn't it true? You want to know? Total ignorance is object of your knowledge. I, the self, am the knower consciousness, pure consciousness, distinct from the known total ignorance, otherwise called avidya, and which is called Anandamaya Koshaha. is called causal body, karana shariram. Karana shariram, causal body, avidya, anandamaya kosha mean the same. I'll tell you why it is called anandamaya kosha. Ignorance is known to you or not? Total ignorance. When is total ignorance? In fact, total when there is total ignorance, that is called deep sleep state. Not in sleep there is total ignorance, but whenever there is total ignorance, that is called deep sleep state of the mind. In sleep you are, but you do not know you are, not knowing you are. Which means there is no knowledge of the existence of the self. There is no manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am. Therefore, there is no knowledge of the existence of the world also in terms of the world is. Therefore, there cannot be knowledge of what I am, what this world is. Then there is total ignorance. In total ignorance, when you are not knowing you are, no identity is possible. For you to have any identity, you should know you are first. Isn't it true? You should know you are. Only then you can have identity. You do not even know you are means, how can you have any identity? So in deep sleep state, in total ignorance, when you do not know you are, you have no identity. Whenever there is no identity, then you cannot entertain any wrong notions about the self. There is no wrong notion about the self or the world. There is no error in the perception of yourself. When you do not even know you are, there is no perception of yourself. There is neither right perception nor wrong perception. In non-perception, non-identity. Is it clear? Therefore, there is no fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity centered on I. Is it clear? There is no fundamental problem in deep sleep state. Common human fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of insecurity, sense of inadequacy centered on I in deep sleep state. There were no wrong notions about the self in sleep. I am a mortal, I am small, I am insecure, I am unhappy. All these notions, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, all these notions are not there because you do not even know your own existence. Because there is no manifestation of knowledge. The power of reality remains unmanifest. Therefore, there is total ignorance. There is non-identity. Therefore, in non-identity, there is no pain, no pleasure. Is it clear? When there is neither pain nor pleasure, and a state of mind where there is neither pain nor pleasure is called a state of bliss experience. Is it clear now? Total ignorance is bliss. Therefore, it is called not anandaha, anandamaya koshaha. We are not interested in anandamaya, we are interested in anandaha. Anandamaya means bliss, anandaha means happiness. And anandamaya is what? It can be disturbed. It is not permanent. Experience of bliss is not permanent. You know why? Any time the total ignorance, the power of reality, the unmanifest power of reality can be what? Undergo change. And there can be half manifestation. Okay, total ignorance is disturbed and there is half manifestation. And as half manifestation, bliss goes. You have what now? For half manifestation, you have pleasure. You know, you have half manifestation, you have pain. And half unmanifestation, you have pleasure. Pain and pleasure. So you have both pain and pleasure. Okay? You both go through both pain and pleasure in half, and the half manifestation is there. And Shastra, by studying Shastram, you discover what I am, what the world is, then there's total manifestation of knowledge, then there is you discover happiness, you take ownership of happiness as your own very nature, which doesn't come and go. Is it clear? Therefore, now this Anandamaya Kosha is also what? Anandamaya Kosha is nothing but total ignorance. Avidya is Karana Shariram. Is it clear now? Therefore, I, the knower, am distinct consciousness, distinct from the known ignorance also. But there's no distance between any of the layers of personality. For what now? Panchakosha Atigaha Aham. I am means I is consciousness. I am pure knowledge, pure consciousness, in which all the layers of personality exist, function, come into existence, exist and resolve. And I am consciousness, not distant from all the layers of personality. I am not distant from anything, but I am distinct. I, the consciousness, I, the self, am consciousness, distinct from the entire, okay, all the layers of personality. Panchakosha Atigaha Asmi Aham. Is it clear now? Very clear. And this I, the knower, am distinct from the known layers of personality. I'm of the nature of consciousness, the existence, which is of the nature of limitlessness. Satchit anandaha, ananda rupaha aham. What is the form of the truth of I? In what form does the truth of I, the reality of I, obtain? In what form does it obtain? The reality of the I, the truth of the I, obtains in the form of pure consciousness, you know, pure knowledge, and you know, pure existence, which is of the nature of limitlessness. Okay? Nityoham nirvikalpoham.
Nityoham nirvikalpoham.
Nirakarohamauyayah.
Nirakarohamauyayah.
Sachidanandarupoham. Panchakoshati gosmyaham.
Panchakoshati gosmyaham.
See, panchakosha atigaha asmi aham. Aham panchakosha atigaha asmi. Atigaha means atigatavan asmi, atigachati iti atigaha. One who goes beyond, one who is beyond. Beyond means distinct. Beyond means people, the expression beyond is used to mean the distance also, isn't it? Therefore, we should not take it as, they never say beyond, distinct. Panchakosha atigaha means I itself am distinct from all the five layers of personality which form the human, individual human form. Is it clear now? Which means I itself am the pure reality obtaining in the realm of consciousness, distinct from all the layers of personality which constitute the individual human being. Don't get frightened, okay? Oh my God, I'm not an individual human being, then what am I? You are as a human, because you have this human form, you are eligible to discover this fact that you are essentially the pure knowledge which pervades in and through all the five layers of personality, which is distinct but not distant, which pervades you. I am the consciousness which is distinct from the layers of personality, which pervades all the five layers of personality in and through, and which is not limited by the boundaries, limited by the peripheries of these five layers of personality, which goes beyond. Is it clear? And when this physical, please listen, when this physical body falls apart, when the death body dies, consciousness continues to exist. But the consciousness which continues to exist is not available for interaction when the body falls apart. Is it clear? So, consciousness does not die when the body dies. The body gets disintegrated. But it's not available for interaction. Because it is not interactable, the non-interactability of consciousness, because of where the body falls apart, we should mistake non-interactability for non-existence. But we do mistake. Is it clear? Therefore what? I am consciousness, eternal reality, truth, immortal reality. Panchakosha atigaha asmi. Akartaham abhoktaham. Asangah parameshwaraha. Akartaham abhoktaham. Asangah parameshwaraha. Sada mat sannidhanena. Sada mat sannidhanena.
Sada mat sannidhanena.
Cheshtate sarvamindriyam. Sada mat sannidhanena.
Sada mat sannidhanena.
Cheshtate sarvamindriyam. Akartaham abhoktaham. Asangah parameshwarah. Sada mat sannidhanena. Cheshtate sarvamindriyam.
Cheshtate sarvamindriyam.
akarta aham, abhokta aham, asangaha aham, parameshwaraha. Aham parameshwaraha. When you say aham parameshwaraha, your I is already has been shifted from, I has been already shifted from five layers of personality in terms of three bodies. Already negated three bodies as objects of knowledge. You have negated already each layer of personality as an object of knowledge, object of your knowledge. You have distinguished yourself as the knower of everything. And you only now, is it clear now? Having distinguished yourself as the knower of everything and having differentiated the five layers of personality in terms of three bodies as objects of knowledge. And who are you? And I, the knower, am distinct from all the layers of personality, am consciousness, pure knowledge. And as pure knowledge is this pure consciousness, pure knowledge involved in any activity, is doing any action, running, jumping. Does consciousness run? Does consciousness jump? Does consciousness eat? Does consciousness speak? No. Consciousness does not do any action. Consciousness is of the nature of actionlessness. In third chapter, Krishna really works hard to make us understand this one word, naishkarmyam. Actionlessness is the nature of the reality, nature of the Atma, nature of Brahma. Consciousness is of the nature of actionlessness. Why it doesn't do any action? Means that is its nature. He ever asks why milk is white, why sun is hot. We never ask why fire is hot. We never ask the question. When you say fire is hot, means being hot is the nature of the fire. What is the nature? What cannot be changed is the nature. You can, whatever in science, how whatever they do, they can never convert a fire into a heat-free fire. Okay? No scientific experiment can convert a fire into a heat-free fire. All the experiments maximum can arrive at the fact that heat is the intrinsic, inseparable property of the fire. The nature, so being hot is the nature. Unchangeable nature is called Swarupam. Is it clear now? Similarly, actionlessness is the Swarupam of the reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, pure knowledge. Why consciousness doesn't do anything? Consciousness is of the nature of actionlessness. Because consciousness is of the nature of changelessness. Because consciousness is of the nature of motionlessness. Consciousness doesn't move here and there. We know sthanuhu. Sthanuhu means what? Doesn't move. Unmoving. Therefore what? Achalaha immovable also. Why it is unmoving? Because it is all pervasive. For why consciousness is of the nature of motionlessness? Because it is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Being all pervasive, you have to write all these things, okay? Consciousness is of the nature of all pervasiveness, therefore it is of the nature of motionlessness, therefore it is of the nature of changelessness. Change means movement is involved, motion is involved. Therefore, it is of the nature of actionlessness. Is it clear? You have to give all the reasons one by one. Is it clear? As they taught you, Ataha, remember? Chaitanyam sarvagatam ataha achalam. Ataha sthanuhu. चैतन्यम स्थाणु अतः अचलः अचलः अतः अकर्ता. Therefore, it's of the nature of actionlessness. And I am consciousness, I the self am, I the knower, I the self am consciousness, which is of the nature of actionlessness. Therefore, I the self am the non-doer. Means what? This I the consciousness am not the doer of anything. And who is this doer then? If I am not the doer, who is the doer then? Of course, the doer is consciousness. Doer is myself. No way. Without the consciousness, no action is possible. Consciousness is not the doer. Consciousness is not of the nature of actionlessness, but no action is possible without the consciousness. Therefore, the doer is Atma. The doer is Atma. Atma is not the doer, but the doer is Atma. You say doer is Atma, you say what? Ishvara. The Lord. Is it confusing or clear? Clear? Then Aham Abhokta, the same way. Next year also. So Atma, the reality implied by the term Atma, obtaining in them a pure knowledge, pure consciousness, is free from all experiences. Consciousness is of the nature of what? Free from all experiences. Consciousness does not enjoy anything. And experience it, understand, doesn't enjoy anything. Consciousness is not the knower. Consciousness is not the enjoyer. Consciousness is not the experiencer. But who is the experiencer? Who is the knower? Who is the enjoyer? Of course, the enjoyer, the experiencer, the knower is definitely none other than consciousness, Atma. But Atma, the consciousness, is not the experiencer, not the enjoyer. Is it clear? This is explained externally also. For I am the consciousness which is free from doership and enjoyership. Aham akarta, aham abhokta, then aham asangaha. Asangaha, very important. You say reality is the abstract, absolute reality is of the nature of formlessness, formless reality, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, is asangaha, untouched, untainted by anything. Even though everything enjoys existence in consciousness, look at this, let me tell you. All the objects are what now? All the forms, all the words indicating the forms, all the functions served by the forms, all the forms, forms means all forms of objects, all forms of objects perceptible through these five different sense organs, all forms of objects enjoy their existence in consciousness, just as every wave form enjoys its existence in the water, all the forms enjoy their existence in consciousness. All the opaque things which shine in the presence of the light enjoy their existence in the presence of the light. When you see all the objects means what? Not only the cloth, even the color, all the colors, so all these different objects enjoy their exist opaque things which enjoy their existence in the presence of the light. In the presence of the light alone, all the opaque things, opaque forms enjoy their status of being existent. Therefore, even though all these colors and all the objects exist in the presence of the light, light is not tainted, touched by, polluted by any of the objects here. Can any of the objects which exist in the presence of the light pollute the light? Or the color can pollute the light? The green color, the blue color, the white color, red color, orange color, all the colors shine in the presence of the light. But can any of the colors pollute the light, touch the light, afflict the light, taint the light? Even though all the forms enjoy their existence in the presence of consciousness, no object can touch or taint the consciousness, the reality in the realm of consciousness. Is it clear? Therefore, asangaha. Now, with reference to opaque things, light is asangaha. Even the objects which exist in space is asangaha. Can any of the object touch the space, pollute the space? You see a lot of dirt in space. But that the space gets dirty. It can, no, objects exist in space, but no object can touch the space, taint the space, untouched. Even though everything exists in space, everything exists in the presence of the light, no object, no form can taint or touch or pollute the space or light. Similarly, even the space and time, even all the objects exist within the realm of time and space, enjoy their existence in consciousness, cannot touch, taint the consciousness. And I am consciousness, untouched. Therefore, aham asangaha. Is it clear now? Therefore, akartaham abhoktaham, asangaham abhoktaham, asangah parameshwarah, asangah parameshwarah, no parama ishwarah. Ishwarah means the ruler, the Lord, and not an ordinary here, Lord, absolute Lord, which means there is no Lord other than the reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, which alone enjoys existence of its own. The only one thing which enjoys existence independently, which enjoys existence of its own, consciousness is of the nature of existence. Consciousness enjoys existence of its own. When the no world is, no time is, no space is, no experience is, okay, nothing is, knowing the nothingness, that which enjoys existence of its own is consciousness. Do you see this? Very important lesson, the heart lesson. The nothing is there also, knowing the nothingness, that which exists, that enjoys existence of its own, is what? Consciousness. Consciousness is of the nature of self-existence. Svataha satta. Svata satta. Understand? And everything else, including time and space, is as only dependent existence. Dependent on the manifestation of power of knowledge. Only when the power of knowledge is manifest, then the world, including time and space, can enjoy the status of being the existent. Can have the status of being the existent. Is it clear now? Therefore it is said, and as therefore that which, what is the Lord here? The reality which is of the nature of self-existence, which enjoys existence of its own, which is independent of everything else in the world, and which lends existence to the world, is given the status of being the Lord of the world. I have to tell you this point here. The reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, pure knowledge, which alone is, enjoys existence of its own, therefore which is of the nature of self-existence, and which alone lends existence to time and space, and also the everything else which exists within the realm of time and space, is looked upon, is given the title, is given the status of being the ruler, the Lord of the world. Is it clear now? Lord means that which lends life is the Lord. That which lends life is the Lord. That's why in Indian culture, husband is called Lord, Pati. Supposed to look after his own family. And Bhagavan is the one who looks after the whole Jagat. Jagat Pati is a Grihapati. Husband is what? Grihapati. Lord of the whole family. Home. Where wife and children are all there. And Bhagavan is Jagat Pati. Is it clear? Pati, he means protector. Protecting means what? Lending life. Lending existence. Lending existence is protection. Is it clear now? Therefore, here Parameshwaraha. Who is the Parameshwaraha? Absolute Lord, the only Lord of the whole is the reality which is of the nature of self-existence, which enjoys existence of its own, alone is capable of lending existence to the entire world, therefore looked upon as, or given the title of the Lord, being the Lord of the universe. Absolute Parameshwara, I am the absolute, I am the absolute reality, the Lord of the whole universe. I, the Self, am the consciousness, the absolute Lord of the universe. You have to see yours from the standpoint of consciousness, just for understanding. It's not for us to go and tell everybody, you know, I am the Lord, you know. I am the Lord, finished. It's not for us to go and tell everybody, I am the Lord. It is for us to understand the fact that I, the reality, I, the knower, am the absolute reality. You have to use this expression, I, which is of the nature of self-existence, which enjoys existence of its own, thereby which is capable of lending existence to the whole, thereby which is looked upon as the Lord of the universe. You have the title of being the Lord of the universe. Is it clear now? Okay. And he says, Sada mat sannidhanena sannidhanam sam nidhanam. See, nidhanam, dhanam means placing. Nidhanam means what? Being placed. Nidhanam means being presence. Present. Being present means presence. Sam nidhanam means, see, now we are all present here, okay? There is nidhanam of all of us here. But are we here permanently? When power light, power outside, the noise goes, we'll go outside. Our presence, so literally dhanam means placing. Nidhanam does a placing. So, sannidhanam means permanent presence. Permanence or permanent presence. temporary presence. We are all present here. How? Temporarily. We means, I mean, at present, isn't it? So, presence of everything is what? Temporary presence. So, sannidhana means permanent presence. Literally, it means presence. So, mat sannidhana means mama sannidhanam. Mama sannidhanam, two different words. If you decline the word aham, aham, mom, okay, if you decline that word, I, me, by me, maya, mahyam, then you have mama. Positive case is what? Mama. Not mama. Mama means my. You put them together as a compound word, mat sannidhanam. Means mama sannidhanam. Mama sannidhanam means my presence. In my presence. Mat sannidhane means in my presence. In my presence. Mat sannidhanena means only because of my presence. By my presence alone. All. When am I present? Sada. Understand now? As the absolute reality, eternal, timeless reality, non-arriving, non-departing, beginningless, endless, changeless, everlasting, eternal reality, truth, abstract truth, obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, pure knowledge, is what? Always. There's a never a time it is not. Therefore, always. Knower, I am consciousness always in my presence, in the presence of consciousness, in my presence, in the presence of consciousness alone, sarva indriyam cheshtate, always, any function, any action, anything happens, everything happens only in the presence of consciousness. If we say, I see the dawn, the waves dancing and moving here and there, means whenever you see any movement on, in terms of the wave, it's always in the presence of the water. Isn't it? Suppose you watch some nice dance program or drama on the stage, and you watch many dancers come, dancers dance, you appreciate the colors, you appreciate the structure, you appreciate everything, the movement, everything, expressions, because of in the presence of light. Light doesn't dance. Light does, no, don't take it seriously, okay? Light travels, I know all those things. I'm just telling here. On the stage, you see, but the presence of the light, you see the dancers' movements. Only in the presence of the light, all the. Similarly, here, play example, don't stretch the example too much. Only in the presence of consciousness, all the functions happen, all the actions are possible. Without the water, wave itself cannot exist. How can the movement of the wave happen? Isn't it? Even the existence of the wave is dependent on the presence of the water. And where is the question of movement of the wave without the water? Is it clear? The mere existence of the wave itself is dependent on the water, means movement of the wave also is impossible without the presence of the water. So something, the movement of the wave is happening in the presence of the water. Similarly, all the functions, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, all the functions, digesting, all the functions, all the involuntary functions, all the voluntary activities, even the will power, which is very much needed for the voluntary actions, all the activities are possible or happening in the presence of the Atma, the consciousness, which is of the nature of actionlessness. That's what Bhagavan says in Gita, is it? I am in all. Okay, I am karta, mahar, akarta, he says. No way. Consciousness is of the nature of actionlessness, but without consciousness, no action is possible. In the presence of consciousness, in the presence of the truth alone, all the activities, all actions, all functions are possible. He says, Mat sannidhanena sada cheshtate sarvam indriyam. See, without the presence is called a blessing. Presence itself is blessing. Only because of the blessing of consciousness, the mind can function as mind. The function of meditation is possible, knowing is possible, desiring is possible, doing is possible, okay, seeing is possible, hearing is possible. It's all possible because of the blessing of consciousness, because the blessing of Atma in terms of consciousness. Even the life itself is possible because of the presence of consciousness. Is it clear? Even the dead body enjoys the status of being existent because of the presence of consciousness. Is it clear? What I want to say? Mat sannidhan, beautiful sannidhanam. Sannidhanam means permanent presence. Can say presence. There's a never a time. There's no sannidhanam. Every fraction of second, in every step, everywhere, wherever you are yourself. In you, everything exists. If you look at it as God, then there's no fraction of second you can miss the God. Understand? Miss the Lord. Because Lord is essentially the knowledge which is non-separate from you, which is yourself. Okay? Sada mat sannidhanena.
Sada mat sannidhanena.
Cheshtate sarvamindriyam.
Cheshtate sarvamindriyam.
Sarvam indriyam means all. Sarvam indriyam means every power functions. Cheshtate functions only in my presence, because of my presence, because of my blessing. Okay, presence is blessing. Akartaham abhoktaham asangah parameshwarah sada mat sannidhanena cheshtate sarvam indriyam. One thing remember, see, only in my presence every sense organ, every organ functions, any activity, any function is possible. Only in my presence means I am not touched, tainted by ID consciousness. I am not touched or tainted by any function or any power. In my presence, everything happens. I am not afflicted, touched by any power or the function of the power. See, the wave, presence of the wave form or the movement of the wave in no way doesn't touch or taint the water. At the same time, only in the presence of the water, the wave form itself can exist and the movement of the wave also is possible. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namah Hari Om.